Welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with Julia and Philip Siracusa. Sponsored by Carnation. Airing live on United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. This show's opening has been produced, edited, narrated by Gwen Luckett at gluckett.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We are broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. We are fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. You'll have to do a few things in order to participate in chat. Go to our YouTube page, UFO Paranormal Radio. You can go to all the Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, Horsefly Chronicles Radio, SoundCloud, Podbeam, Twitch, and all of those other platforms. So tonight, guys, we have another amazing guest. So please welcome to the show, David Twitch. David is an author, and he's got books out there, and tonight we're going to hear about his story and how his life was changed forever from his near-death experience. So please welcome him to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show today.
Thank you. Looking forward to having you on. So, David, near-death experiences and studies have been around for a long time, and there's some controversial stuff behind it. I myself had near-death experience, so I know the realism of it. And this is why we do the show, is to bring people forward like yourself and explain about their experiences and is there another side, right? A lot of people want to know, is there another side? Or is this it? You know? And we want you to take us to the beginning and tell us everything and how it enveloped you.
Well, I actually have never had a near-death experience myself. I'm a near-death experience researcher. It all started back in 1999 when I came down with chronic tendonitis, and it got worse and worse and worse over the next 8 years. And in 2007, it's gotten so bad, I was having difficulty working, and I clicked on a YouTube video that came up in my feed, just a random video about an atheist who died, saw the afterlife, and returned. And that started me on a very long journey, 16 years now, of researching near-death experiences. I've heard over 1,200 testimonies in that time. And so I've gotten a real good feel of what the experience is like, what the environments of heaven are like, what our job is down here on earth, what the purposes of physical incarnations are. And of course, I've heard some information about the future earth and what mankind is headed towards.
Wow. So take us to your point. Go ahead, Joel, you go.
Take us to your book. I want to hear about your book. What inspired you to write your book?
Well, my book is called God Took My Clothes, and you can download a preview copy of it at godtookmyclothes.com. There's a 2-chapter preview. And I wrote the book because when I started doing my research, I found there were lots of books out there with individual testimonies, which were very good. And there were lots of high esoterical, spiritually focused books that were difficult to understand unless you had a lot of spiritual knowledge already. But there didn't seem to be a sort of spirituality 101. You know, what do near-death experiencers say? And so that inspired me to write the book. And it took me, about 6 or 7 years. And I finally got it published back in 2021.
Wow. That's so exciting. I mean, tell us about what, and you know, what really made you dig deep into wanting to know everything that there is about the near-death experiences?
Well, probably the first thing that really grabbed my attention, and it was really that first testimony, was I thought, because, you know, I had this chronic pain, and, you know, I was a Christian back then, and, you know, it said, whatever you ask for, you'll receive. And so I had been prayed for by probably at least a dozen churches over the years and several hundred people, and I had spent tens of thousands of dollars on doctors trying to get healed, and it only got worse. And I came to the conclusion that, you know, one of two things is going on. There either is no God, or there is a God, but I've been a bad son. You know, he's embarrassed of me, and he's, you know, doesn't want anything to do with me. So he's not going to do many favors and heal me. And this testimony, the very first one I clicked on, was from Howard Storm. And he was an atheist. He died, found himself outside of his body, a very negative experience in the afterlife. About 3% of the testimonies I've heard were negative experiences. But like every negative experience testimony that I've heard in my 16 years of research, every single time somebody's in a negative experience and they call out to heaven for help, they're rescued. And that's exactly what happened. And they all talk about this love. There's this love that is so powerful and so strong that even the word love is completely inadequate to describe it. The most common phrase they use is unconditional love, but even that falls far short of what they experience. Some people have tried using analogies. One guy said, you know, imagine the strongest love you've ever felt and multiply that by about 1,000, and that's what it's like. Another guy said, imagine the 100 happiest moments of your life and put them all into one moment, and that's about what it's like. And of course, I just recently heard one say that, you know, if you had a magic lamp and instead of 3 wishes, you know, from the genie, you've got unlimited wishes your whole life. You could wish for anything a human being could have on earth, you know, health, a family, a great career, and all this beautiful stuff. You wouldn't be nearly as happy as you are on the other side of the veil. So just that was very enticing. And then the message. I have been taught by Christianity that this is a pass-fail test here on earth, and that, you know, God loves you, but if you pick the wrong route, break his rules, he's going to burn you in hell forever. Well, that's just not the case. When a soul is ready, everybody comes home. There is no punishment of hell or anything like that. We're doing an important job that's part of the critical growth of creation, these physical incarnations. And to know that I was loved and accepted and I'm going home to this beautiful place, no matter what happens down here, that was a tremendous comfort. So that really piqued my interest. And I'm just, of course, tons of things, you know, the colors of heaven. You know, I would hear people describe all these beautiful colors that don't exist here. And it took me a while to find out why. We have 3 primary colors here on earth, red, yellow, and blue. And a mixture of those 3 colors form all the colors of the rainbow. They have over 80 primary colors in heaven. So just the colors are amazing. But yeah, just the whole beauty of these experiences is what attracted me into researching them.
And it's so amazing. So many of these stories are so similar. They're different, but they're similar. And now, you've never came across someone who's had an experience that wasn't so nice. Am I right?
Yeah, about 3% were negative experiences, and a lot of them called out to heaven for help, and they were, every time they did that, they were rescued. And the negative experiences, in my opinion, are souls who either intentionally or unintentionally disconnect from God, and that is a temporary condition. It's not a punishment. And when a soul's ready, they all go home. But even the negative experiences change people for the better when they come back.
Yeah. And have you seen a lot of these people that have come back, they've came back with gifts. Kind of gifts. And how do you explain that? Like, because that fascinates me.
Well, sometimes people ask me, you know, I do spiritual counseling for those who have had near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. And, you know, I get some psychic stuff. And I didn't believe in that when I first started my investigation. Somebody told me, one of my interviewees, it was a 6-hour interview, said, oh, you're going to start developing psychic abilities. And I laughed at him. Well, I say now, I'm psychic, just like everyone else. every human being on earth uses their psychic abilities. They're just not always aware of it. Of course, when you're in heaven, what happens is your vibration is raised dramatically, and the veil that separates the physical world and the afterlife becomes sort of more see-through. And often they'll come back sort of with one foot here on earth and one foot on the other side of the veil. So coming back with special gifts is very common. Some people become psychic healers, you know, mediums, channelers. I remember this man who had an extensive near-death experience in heaven, the one who told me I was going to develop psychic abilities. One of the first things that happened to him when he came back is he was in a grocery store and he saw this woman standing there, and he was getting flashes of a wedding ring in this dark, dusty place. And there was this grating with light coming through. And he thought, that looks like the bottom of a refrigerator, like underneath a refrigerator. So being very nervous, you know, not knowing why he was getting these visions, he walks up to this woman. He tells her what he sees, and she didn't say a thing to him. She pulls out her phone, calls her daughter and says, look under the fridge, honey. And then, you know, tears. And she says to my friend, I don't know who you are or how you knew that, but thank you. My mother died recently and we had lost her wedding ring. And I was just really upset with myself. And we looked everywhere and we just found it thanks to you. So yeah, that kind of thing is very common.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that all these people that have come back, there was always a purpose, there was a reason, you know, because they didn't want to. You see so many stories and so many shows and so many researchers like yourself that tell us this. And there's always a reason why they were sent back. And there you go.
Yeah, you know, some are told it's not your time, you have to go back. And others are told your work is done. But, you know, they're very smart up there in heaven. So what they do is they show the individual, these will be the benefits to humanity, to your family, to your loved ones if you return. If you don't return, this is what's going to happen. And of course, if I heard their story, they decided to return.
Wow. So what do you think about that? Because you had your own near-death experience. What do you think about that? How was your experience compared to that?
Well, what he said is right. The love, the colors, you can't explain it. In simpleton words, you can, but there's no comparison. You know, it's interesting. People would take, you know, what I say or other people's near-death experiences and say, well, it's an imagination, it's a hallucination. It's a DMT rush. But then, you know, if you have the experience yourself, you know the truth, right? You know, hey, no, this, it's more real over there than it is over here, period. More real on the other side. I recently watched this movie, Afterlife, that just came out in 2023. And I have to say, it's fascinating. And it's fascinating because in one study, there were blind people who were interviewed who've never seen anything because they were born blind. And in the interview process, they had asked them, did you see anything when you had a near-death experience? They said, yes, we've seen everything, just the way you see it. And they described objects and people and things to that nature that they could not describe in the physical realm because they're blind. So therefore, it's not an illusion or an imagination or a DMT rush or something where you try to label it in the physical world that, no, it's just something that you're making up, you're manifesting this thought. It's not. When you have blind people coming forward describing things that they've never seen, I can say for one that the other side is more real than this side. And some people are able to be messengers and other people just still go through their earthly realm. And they're not supposed to have that incarnation of understanding. And that's okay. You know, I'm a believer in reincarnation. And maybe those people have went through these realms and have experienced it in previous lifetimes. We're all energy. Energy is not created nor destroyed. Therefore, anything we try to label it as, we try to manifest in the belief of, well, it has to be this way. Well, like I said, you know, we have five senses here in the physical realm, but when you cross over, you're unlimited. And there's a lot of forms that we talk through telepathy. We don't have to use verbal communications, where every language is a universal language of understanding and embracement of love. So I like the fact, David, of what you do and the studies and the book that, you know, you, the books you have written, because it is the most fascinating thing to talk about. And a lot of people want to know, will I ever see my loved ones again? Now, David, you had said that there is no hell. And my question to you would be, from an atheist point of view, right? I'm not an atheist, but people would ask me, how do you describe demons?
Well, there are various densities, various vibrations, and demons are spiritual entities of very low vibration. And there's a common phrase among near-death experiencers, or a common idea they come back with, and that is, there is a perfect plan, and it is working itself out in its perfection. And when some people arrive in heaven, they almost laugh and they say, oh, I can't believe I forgot this beautiful, elegantly perfect plan. Well, why are there demons then? If they didn't have a purpose in the perfect plan of creation, they wouldn't exist. And so there's always a small portion of creation that is experiencing the opposite of love. And that's what we're doing here on planet Earth, the fear-love duality. So you have these lower vibrational entities that are there as part of that fear-love duality. And it's to help the creation process continue. It turns out consciousness learns through contrast. And so if there isn't a small portion of creation that has the choice and can experience the opposite of the infinite love of heaven, creation doesn't grow. It's like, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're a lazy boy watching TV, you're not going to get stronger unless you go out and run, or, you know, go to the gym and lift weights or something like that. So it's almost like those entities, I believe, exist to sort of exercise our spiritual muscles.
Yeah.
So the existence of life is the experience of the soul. You know, I believe in soul contracts, that the soul chooses to go through certain things and maybe have a quick exit sign, the physical realm, which we really don't comprehend, some of us. Like, why would someone want to leave at 5 years old or at birth or at 20 years old? But maybe that soul, that is the complete puzzle of that soul's journey. Where we measure time, there is no time on either side. So we measure it in a short distance, but maybe the soul has completed a full distance of life. And we're missing that person, right? It's natural that we miss the loved one that can die tragically in an accident or cancer or so many different ways to die. And we ask, why? Why would you be taken so early? And it's really my belief now, as a paranormal investigator, as a near-death experience person, that we have soul contracts and we somehow write it out, and we know when what we want to accomplish, we know who our parents are. And, you know, I get this all the time, well, then why would people pick out bad parents or abuse? You know, I don't have all the answers, right? None of us do, but it's kind of like that exercise you're talking about, that we're seeing it in one way, but when you leave the body and you feel the vibration, you're like, ah, I got it now. Now I understand why I chose this. It's just a little simple time that I chose this before I go back home. And that's really my belief, you know, because I get asked all the time, well, if there really was a God, Phil, why do so many children die young, and there's murders and wars and crimes and overdoses and destruction of mankind? And then I think, well, there is a God, there is a heaven, but maybe that we're seeing it in one aspect, but the soul has chosen just to go through certain vibrations before it leaves here again. And that could be, it wanted to go that way. And I know that in a physical reality, we say, well, that's horrible to say that a person would want to die at a certain way at a certain time, of a tragic way. But maybe it's already written in that soul contract. And then when you cross over, you're like, I understand all this now. Now it makes complete sense. And the one thing I know as an experiencer is that you will see your loved ones again. That is a guarantee. And some of us may not accept that that understanding of possibilities, because maybe you're not meant to get it just now, but you'll see when you get there.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to second what you said. I've heard over and over again, pre-soul planning. They plan out their lives. They plan out the major events, the potentials. And it's much like a vacation itinerary. Some people think it's control. No, it's like a vacation itinerary. You plan out the major events and you kind of fill in the details when you get there. But we have free will. And just like a vacation itinerary, you know, you could go to Paris and plan a trip to Paris and get there and say, well, I don't like this place. I'm going to Tahiti. But that's pretty rare. Most people follow their soul plans. And so, you know, I've heard all sorts of things of souls saying, oh, I want to take on this challenge, or, you know, I want to take on the challenge of being in an abusive home. And really, when a person goes through a traumatic situation, it tends to transform them and make them stronger. And a lot of times I've noticed here on planet Earth, people go through traumatic experiences and it becomes their greatest strength. I mean, you know, look at Mary Kay of Mary Kay Cosmetics. She was, you know, back in, I think, in the 50s or 60s, and it was the good old boy system. And because she was a woman, she wasn't getting promoted, and she was a better salesperson than some people who became her boss. And she got frustrated and started her own cosmetic company, and she became a billionaire. And even our mythological figures, you know, Batman, he sees his parents get killed in front of him when he's 10 years old. So what does he do? He becomes a superhero for justice and defending the innocent. So a lot of times these challenges make us stronger, and they make us better people.
I definitely agree with that. Right, Joel?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people in chat. I want to give a shout out to Cindy, and there are quite a few people in here. And if you have questions, just, you know, ask, and we will definitely ask them. You know, I do have a question. What do you do if someone doesn't follow the soul plan? Have you ever experienced anybody that is that? Tell me about that.
I haven't heard from a near-death experiencer who was told they weren't following their soul plan, but I have heard that some people were given near-death experiences because they were off of their soul plan. And part of the soul planning is, hey, if I'm far off track, give me a near-death experience or make this or that happen to get me back on track. But even if a soul goes completely off track, just a soul incarnating onto Earth, a generator of light and love on this planet, experiencing the fear or love duality, every time we have the choice between fear or love, you know, I can pet the dog, I can kick the dog. When I choose to do the good thing, that contributes to the creation process. And so it doesn't matter if a soul gets far off plan, they're still making a contribution, and we have always existed, we always will. And so we literally have all of eternity to accomplish our goals. So there's really no rush if a lifetime doesn't accomplish what the soul had set out to do.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your belief on when someone takes their own life? We've talked about this on other shows, but I would like to know your belief. Is there something that they have to do in order to, you know, get to where they have to go, or is it all the same, in your opinion?
Okay, so souls in their pre-soul planning will choose many difficult things, including being a murderer or being murdered, I mean, horrible things, as part of their learning experience. Suicide is never used as that tool. It is one of the things that those on the other side of the veil do not want us to do. It's like dropping out of a class that you've got to take. And the problem it creates is there are soul groups that come down here and they make plans together. So if one person drops out of the game, that affects everybody else's plan of what they were going to do down here on planet Earth. And so when that happens, there's often that soul is placed in sort of a waiting area or special program in heaven. I don't understand it completely, but it causes a lot more work for that soul. And I recall one woman who committed suicide, and she met with Jesus in heaven, and he said, you know, you've got to go through these difficulties. You know, I understand how tough it is. She had had a very tough life and, you know, abuse as a child and an abusive relationship as an adult. And, you know, Jesus really encouraged her. You know, I'm there with you. You're not alone. You've got other angels by your side all the time. You know, we're always there with you, loving you, encouraging you, holding your hand when you're crying, and you've got to get through these difficulties. It's part of the learning process. So suicide is a big no-no to those on the other side of the veil. But for those who commit suicide, it's not the end. It's just a big step back in their development.
Okay. So what do you think about that?
It's up for controversy. It's a great question. I often think about it. We do have free will and choice. If a soul was to take their life in the physical realm, you know, I go back to the soul contract then. You know, we in the physical reality, our perception is it's bad. And it is bad. Of course it's bad, right? Because you're ending your journey. And then when you're out of the body, it's kind of like it's a different type of an understanding than what we can comprehend here in the physical realm of why a person chooses to do that. And then the question comes, can a person change their soul format where we have other energies coming through to help that soul get through the journey when they can't make it anymore? There's a lot of unanswered questions. No one is perfect, and absolutely no one has all the answers till you cross over for good, period. We're not God. We're just people who come up with strong theories, and some of us have experiences. But even as an experiencer myself, I'm still here, so I don't know everything, period. You know, we go through, in my belief, we go through life cycles. I do believe strongly in reincarnation because I remember as a young child having deja vu. I felt like I've been somewhere and I know I was there, but I wasn't. But I was somehow. So again, this is just the shell that we're wearing, like you put a costume on. And then when we leave the shell behind. But it doesn't mean you leave the shell for good. It just means that we're leaving this temporary stage until we reappear as something else that we want to be in the physical realm. Now, that leads me to bring up the topic of ghosts, because ghosts are real. Now, David, Julie, and I live in the notorious Haunted Horsefly Chronicles home.
And you asked me that question, and I was saving it for the show, just so that you know.
Yeah. And we're paranormal investigators, and I'm a hardcore New Yorker. If you don't see it, you don't believe it, period. Take no man's word, because it's just a word. But then when things happen that you cannot explain, that are supernatural and science is not behind it, well, now we have something else, right? So what's your thoughts? Do you think that the soul chooses to come back earthly in a ghostly format to maybe visit, spook, or go through a cycle of energy that we're not understanding?
I suppose that's possible. I have not heard of that myself. My understanding of ghosts, and I haven't heard a lot of information from near-death experiences regarding that, but what I have heard is that some souls, when they die, they come out of their body, they're very attached to something that happened on Earth or unresolved issues, and they don't go to the light. And there are even certain psychics and mediums who are experts at helping these souls get to the light. I also understand that human beings are very powerful. We are creator gods, just like the Father God, because we are created in God's image. And so we have the ability to create these energies. And there can be residual energies that manifest as ghosts, but I don't completely understand the concept of ghosts. I do believe they're real.
Oh, they're real. That's a fact. We live in the home. So, you know, some things are unexplainable. And I can tell the listener out there and the world that, you know, paranormal phenomenon does exist and ghosts are real. Now, maybe what we're labeling as ghost is completely different. Now, I just watched an interview with someone who was interviewed by the Pentagon. And what he says is that we have it wrong. Some of the things that we call ghosts or we call aliens are actually interdimensional beings. And we don't have an exact label of these beings and their knowledge of us. But yet they walk the same way we walk on the realm of the existence of life through the physical realm. They're just not visible through the naked eye. And some of the apparitions that we capture, ironically, are the shadows, the black shadows that come from nowhere. And some of them look like full body apparitions. And you could say, well, it's an optical illusion through the eye or through a camera, which I would agree, right? Because I like to debunk things. So then as paranormal investigators, we take the step further and say, well, let's get recording devices. And I have to say this verbatim, that we get more intelligent responses than mankind gives responses. How? I don't know, but this is from another side. It's as if we're on one side of that veil and they're on the other. Some of them play the part of our loved ones. Maybe they are our loved ones coming through. Or maybe, just maybe, that our souls are on multiple dimensions simultaneously and we haven't figured it out yet through science. And a lot of people have come forward and talk about the matrix and that there's possibilities that we exist on many levels, not just the level that we see each other on here. And that's also a strong belief of mine, is that just maybe we're communicating with someone that has crossed over the way we see it, but they haven't crossed over the way they see it. Now, a perfect example is this. You have an old farmhouse back from the 1700s, and a builder comes in and he takes down the farmhouse and he puts up an apartment building. So in the apartment building, people hear other people going up and down stairs that don't exist at that certain point in the apartment building. Through the studies I have done, and Julia and paranormal teams around the world, it comes up to a conclusion, is that does the old farmhouse still exist within a realm we can't see? And every time you build over and take something down, does it mean it's gone? It just means it's gone in a physical reality, but not in another reality of dimension of time that we have made up.
Because to them, it's still there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've heard quite a bit about the nature of our multidimensional selves and different dimensions or different densities. And I have heard that when humanity learns how to measure and manipulate and see quantum energies, we're going to realize there's a lot more life around us right here on planet Earth than we were previously aware of. And of course, if you're in the third density, I don't like to use the term dimension, because that sounds like a mathematical dimension. It's really a density. When you're in a third density, you can't see the higher densities. And so they can see us, but we often can't see them. And then there's people with special gifts that can see the higher densities. As children especially are good at seeing the higher densities.
Yeah.
The higher vibrational realms.
Yeah. It's amazing when you watch a child. I'm talking about that before the show, stare into space and just to sit there and watch them, because you know that the child is definitely seeing something. And the imaginary friends we were talking about too. You know, we have to stop being so harsh when it comes to children, you know, looking into the air. And like you said before, we're understanding it more now.
Yeah, you know, I've heard from heaven that we're most spiritually mature when we're children. You know, they're not about what happened yesterday. They're not worried about what could happen tomorrow. They tend to live in the moment. And they're much more mature and open in many ways than adults. I mean, if you were having a bad day and you walked up, you know, to a random stranger in public, to an adult, and said, "I'm really sad today. I need a hug." You might have to try, you know, 6 or 7 times to get that hug. You walk up to a child, chances are that first child's going to give you a hug.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Let's see, we have 2 questions. Did you have any near-death experiences that happened more than once with any individuals?
Yes, I've interviewed people who have had multiple near-death experiences. The most was, I think, Tamara Calder Richardson. She had 6, but I've heard of people that have had 9 or 10.
That's crazy. That's a lot. And those people, like what they went through, they must have, like, that's intense, very intense.
Oh yeah, Tamara, my friend who went through 6, she's a very good psychic medium, communicates with those on the other side of the veil. She's the real deal. I've seen her give specific details that can't be faked. I believe it all.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Does she go back to the same place on each near-death experience, or does she go to different places if she recalls?
Well, each near-death experience for her was different, but they were similar. And I understand from some books I've read that it's sort of all the same place. It's like an area where souls go when they return back to the other side of the veil. And of course, there's not really any levels of heaven any more than there's levels of the ocean. You know, you don't walk 2 feet into the ocean and say, "Well, I'm on the second level." It's just, there's countless realms that are created by the collective groups of souls that are in those realms. But each higher level, for lack of a better term, of heaven is more mysterious and wondrous and joyous and amazing than the last. And really only the first few levels are what near-death experiencers view or experience.
Okay. My name is Rose, and I'm here for the very first time. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Guys, you have to give StreamYard permission to see your name in chat, because there are people in here, but I just can't see their name. Phil.
Well, I want to talk about dreams.
Yes.
And do dreams play the part of communication from loved ones that have crossed over?
Well, I suppose they can. I've heard that often we leave our bodies at night and we go to the other side of the veil and have communications. I have heard quite a few testimonies of dead relatives who appear in dreams just to let the person know, "I'm okay, I'm alive and well." And yeah, we are gonna see our loved ones again. As a matter of fact, I've lost count of how many times I heard a near-death experiencer say, "I met my former pets in heaven and they could communicate mind to mind," Philip, like you were saying earlier, this mind to mind communication. So I've even heard of people communicating with plants in heaven. So yes,
absolutely.
So the dream would be the out of body experience in some format. Some dreams are just what happens daily, or what's on your consciousness for tomorrow's thoughts, what's going to happen. But the visitations, in my belief, are visitations from other people, loved ones that are coming through, because you're in that relaxed state of mind where you're in a form of meditation, for example. I remember I lost a friend on 9/11, and he came through and he was near a tree and he had a glow around him and he looked really good. And he was assuring me, like, "No, I'm fine. How are you?" And I'm like, "Really?" And he looked great. And those kind of dreams are the visitations to let us know that we're fine, guys. You take care of yourselves down there.
Yeah.
You know, and we think about death and one aspect of it's scary, right? You're either going to be put 6 feet under, or you're going to be cremated or whatever. and it's over, but it's not over. And I tell people, you have to separate the physical beliefs and put yourself into a spiritual belief and meditate. No matter what kind of music you like, music plays a big role in helping a person meditate to open up your chakras and be more aligned with the earth and you and who you really are and why you came here. So people, pay attention to your dreams, because loved ones do come through many of times and they're just trying to validate, hey, I know you're thinking about me and I'm okay. You take care of yourself. And then I've heard of stories where people, loved ones come through and they're telling people, I put money in a certain spot. And I'll never forget this. A guy was telling me, he was a member of my gym years ago. And he goes, but I just checked the spot. And guess what? It was there because I needed it. Yeah. It was like $100 bill, whatever it was. It's amazing. It really is amazing. And I'd say, listen to your thoughts. If you think the other side is trying to communicate with you through songs that maybe they played here in the physical realm or signs or pictures, no matter what it is, they might be trying to validate something with you and show you, hey, that butterfly, that red cardinal, wink, wink, it's me. I'm just trying to say hello. Stop by because you were thinking about me.
Right. And I always say leave a piece of paper right near your bed, because a lot of times we'll wake up and we'll dream, we'll remember something and then drift back off and then we'll forget it. And it's always important to keep that paper right by your bed so you can write down. And it sounds crazy because we're half asleep and just want to go right back to sleep. But it is important because dreams, like you said, they could mean something or it could just be a dream. But I think that you'll know if you're having a loved one that's coming to visit you in your dream, you're going to know it. And you're just going to know it. So
I really couldn't hear you there. David, could you hear Julia?
I can. The volume's a little low, though.
Okay.
Yeah, for some reason, my audio's coming in low. Then it's me. So, David, tell us what's next on your journey here in the physical realm.
Well, that's something I don't know. I kind of am just going with the flow. I'm working on my second book, The New World of Love, that talks about the future Earth. A few near-death experiences, a very small percentage, are shown visions or told about future events on Earth. And contrary to what mainstream culture tends to promote, which is, everything's going to hell in a handbasket, we're going to destroy ourselves, that's really far from the truth. There's this new world of love coming. I think we're about 50 years away from peace on Earth, maybe 150 years away from this new world of love that's coming, where we're going to live in peaceful utopian society, in harmony with each other and with Mother Nature. And so I'm going to try and write a book that does the best description that I can do based on partial evidence of what this new world's going to look like.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Amazing. Let me see what we got here.
Guys, I have to pop out and pop in because I can't hear anybody. Lost audio.
All right. Okay. Okay. So today's been one of those days, David. It's one of those days. You ever have one of those days and you just can't understand it?
Yes, I've had my share of computer problems. I've often joked that when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a talk with Bill Gates. I know he's still alive, but I'm assuming since he's older than me, he'll get to heaven before I do.
So I want to, out of everything, of all of the cases that you've studied, tell me one that really left a mark on you.
Well, there are a couple. Kathy Jordan's experience that she outlines in her book, The Birth Called Death, was quite extraordinary. She had many visits to heaven, only one near-death experience, but after that, her brother would come down and take her spirit out of her body and visit heaven, and she had some beautiful descriptions of heaven. But really, the most meaningful to me was that first one I heard, the atheist who died. Mm-hmm. And why it was so meaningful is that, he's going towards this world of light, and he sees how beautiful and perfect it is. And he was one of these guys that's, kind of a tyrant, slamming the fist, yelling, intimidating other people. He was kind of a bad guy. And he thought of himself as garbage, filth, scum. You know, he thought they've made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And they stopped. And he was with Jesus, who's not quite like the Jesus they taught me about in, you know, Sunday school when I was a Christian. You know, he's a Jesus, in my opinion, is kind of the core of God, who acts as an advocate on behalf of human beings, as a helper, individual basis. And he's got a wonderful sense of humor. But Jesus turned to him and he said, "We don't make mistakes. You belong here with us." And that was just really touching, because that was my first glimpse of knowing that, you know, it doesn't matter what we do down here, we're loved just as much. You know, it doesn't matter how badly a human being behaves. There's nothing any human being on earth can do, no matter how horrible their behavior is, you know, how horrifying it is to us. There's nothing we can do to make heaven love us one bit less. They just adore us. And their love is completely unconditional. It doesn't matter what we've done, good or bad. We are just loved for who we are and for being children of God. And so that first testimony was really special to me, because it touched me in that way and let me know that I was never abandoned by my Father.
That's really nice. That's Bill, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm back. I could hear you. Some people would say that it's unfair that if a person goes out and commits multiple murders, that person would be in the same place that another person who was a Christian and walked a good life. What would you say to that?
When you go to the theater and there's a nice play, and of course, a play wouldn't be a play unless there's a good guy and a bad guy, and the play is over, and all the actors come out to take a bow, nobody calls the police and says, "Arrest the bad actor," or "Punish him," or "Boos the guy who played the bad actor." Everybody is applauded. Everybody is cheered. And for us to have this fear, love, duality, somebody's got to play the bad guy. And there are people who play those roles. And again, this is for an experience. This is a love, fear, duality. And if people are on the side of, you know, the narcissistic tyrant who runs around causing all sorts of problems, they are still valuable. They still make a contribution to the growth of creation. Now, those who really do a good job at choosing the love side of the equation, you know, masters of the planet, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. Yes, when you, any little act of kindness, any show of compassion, even a gentle thought, even what we think on the love side of the equation, makes a huge contribution to the growth of creation. But it's all important and all necessary.
Absolutely. We do have a statement. This is a dream. Anything can happen in a dream, but it's a dream. Well, you're right. Dreams can mean many, many things, like we said before. Dreams are really tricky, like we said before. They're very, very tricky.
You know, one of the biggest controversies, and it is, if we go back to biblical times and testaments, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and there's over 200 forms of religion, but none of these religions, in my knowledge and studies, talk about aliens or other beings that exist within the cosmos of the universe. They don't. It's not written there in a Bible verse. But yet, as mankind is evolving, we are now more aware that we're not alone. Of course, some people shed to hide the truth to mankind, while others know, hey, we're not alone and we've never been alone. And then we talk about biblical figures, right? We talk about angels and Jesus and Mother Mary and things that we have been taught and learned. And in a way, we form a reality that this is real. Then where does the part come in that the things that we were not told are real? Because they are. David?
Can you rephrase the question a little bit? I'd like to understand it a little bit better.
Well, basically, we've never been taught we're not alone. And now we're becoming more aware as a culture and society that we are realizing that there are other beings around that were never written biblically through Bibles or any forms of religion. And anyone says it's a religion, I like to see it because it ain't. So then, if the people that we're talking about, and the saints and the angels and Mother Mary and Jesus and God, are made up through what we understand through either a near-death experience or a religious school, or however you're brought up, right? But you were never taught about interdimensional beings or aliens or things of another existence. Where does that play the part? Is the part just because you're trying to form your own reality and belief? Or is it the part that mankind still hides truth within the belief because they have you boxed in to a system of believe this because this is the only way?
Yeah, I would say that second part is what's going on planet Earth. So humanity, certain parts of humanity is well aware of the existence of aliens. Governments, major governments around the world are well aware of it. Some of our technology was reverse engineered from crash spaceships. You know, the Roswell thing, that really happened. One of the common questions near-death experiencers ask when they get in heaven is, are we alone in the universe? And the answer is always the same. No, the universe is full of life. And there are countless other dimensions containing their own universes that are also full of life. So no, we're not alone. And there are probably alien crafts right now on Earth that are camouflaged, and they will eventually turn their camouflage off and let us see them more and more. And once we're comfortable with them, they'll show up. We may have an alien group show up just all of a sudden, but if it's one of the higher vibration, you know, higher spiritual groups, they're going to be very careful not to cause a panic.
So why does the government hide it?
Well, that's a good question. I really do believe there's these globalists that want to control humanity, and they're doing a lot to try and keep us ignorant. Because if we were aware of certain things, they would lose their power. Power onto their power. And they're losing, and as they're losing their power, they're getting more and more brazen and more aggressive, which is actually accelerating their own demise. So yeah, they're just trying to cover it up because they want to keep control and keep power. They want to be the saviors, you know, the ones who protect us.
Absolutely.
I agree with him 1,000%. And, you know, it kind of throws the wrench into the whole thing. And people, like the Matrix, you're boxed into what they want you to believe. That's the way it is. And you have to be outside the box sometimes, you know, and see things for what they really are, and know that, you know, the people that be are not, maybe not be telling you the full truth. Maybe part of it is they don't think you can accept it. And the other part is it could, you know, be a conflict of religion and an understanding of where we come from and who we come from. But the higher vibration and the other side does exist. So I definitely agree with you on that, David. I definitely agree. And it's unfortunate that the government does hide certain things, but there's nothing we could do about it. And the news media, the fake news medias, which are all of them, by the way, they'll tell the story that they want you to hear. And I know a lot of news broadcasters personally. I'm friends with them. They're not allowed to say certain things. If it's not within their format, they can't talk about it. Well, they will be terminated. So it's controlled. The news is controlled. But things that are not controlled is Horsefly Chronicles Radio. Myself, my wife, and people like you, David, and shows like this are not controlled. And we speak the truth to mankind to let people know that you got the fake news and you have people's real experiences out there who are telling you the truth. And just because the sharks that be aren't telling you everything for the way it is and you have to believe them, well, you don't. Believe what you believe within yourself.
Absolutely.
With all of mankind.
Yeah, there's no wrongs and rights about this whole thing. We're all learning and evolving together, and you know, we do come up with more questions than answers, but that's all right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what the news does. I personally believe the mainstream news is nothing more than a well-crafted fear report. And if they can't find something negative to report, they'll take something neutral and spin it to be negative. And the human consciousness, the human mind and brain and heart was not meant to take on the negativity, drama, chaos, and violence of an entire planet. And that's what the mainstream news brings right into our living room. So I tell people, if you're serious about your spiritual involvement, you have to disconnect yourself from the frequency of chaos and hatred and division and negativity, because we are creator gods. You know, that old saying that magicians say, abracadabra, that's from old Aramaic. It means I will create as I speak. So what we focus on is very important. And so you're seeing things pop up like the Good News Network and positive news. And once humanity starts focusing on positive things, that's really going to get the ball rolling in the right direction. But my personal philosophy is, you know, pay attention to shows like this. You know, this is where the good information is getting out there. As a matter of fact, I heard just recently from a testimony, a heavenly testimony, that it is shows like this that are a big part of the Great Awakening and the spiritual involvement of humanity. You know, they're getting the word out there and more people are listening. So this is an exciting time to be alive and great things are happening, even though there's a lot of turmoil, right? You know, anytime there's a lot of change, it's chaotic, but it's also an exciting time because we're making such great advancements towards where we're going to be.
I agree with you 1,000%. And thank you so much for coming on tonight. You've been an abundance of information. Where can people find you and all that good stuff?
My email is at godtookmyclothes.com. There's a link to my spiritual counseling. And of course, you know, you can just send me an email and ask a question. And I'm answering all questions right now with a voice response. But thank you so much for having me on the show, Julia and Philip. It was a pleasure being here with you today.
Thank you so much.
For everything that you do to bring this knowledge out. So we appreciate that. And Cindy, I definitely tune in regularly to hear the truth. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for listening. Special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show from day one. We love them. And please join us next Monday night on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. Thank you so much, David, again. And the listeners, have a great night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.